It was just after midnight, early Wednesday morning, when Kendra Brooks took the mic.
We just made history.
Brooks is the first third-party candidate to win a seat on Philadelphia City Council since the city adopted its current form of government nearly 70 years ago. To do that, she had to beat out the city's Republicans.
We broke the GOP.
And draw support away from the Democrats.
We beat the Democratic establishment. They said we couldn't do it. We did it.
Philly has been a two-party town for generations. So why did Kendra Brooks win? And what does that mean for the future of party politics? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Max Maron is a reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn. So, Max, what do you think has led to independents being more competitive in these local races, as we've seen?
I think it goes back to 2016, when Bernie Sanders' first presidential candidacy sort of exploded.
The next president of the United States, Senator Bernie Sanders!
And galvanized all of these movements in big cities across the country. In Philadelphia, a lot of the organizers who were helping Sanders' campaign on the ground and trying to get traction around his campaign ended up moving on to other candidates and other campaigns, and they really targeted locally. And this is something that happened nationwide after the 2016 race. People got really energized about local races. A lot of these policies espoused by Sanders are gaining traction from everyone from District Attorney Larry Krasner, who was elected in 2017 on a reform agenda with criminal justice policy.
This is a movement that is tired. Seeing a system that is systematically picked on poor people, primarily black and brown people.
To even state representatives like Elizabeth Fiedler, who was a self-proclaimed member of the Democratic Socialists of America.
Mm-hmm. I am really excited to fight for single-payer health care, for family-sustaining jobs, and for school funding, and to make sure that our school buildings
and
are...
And these are people with an unapologetically bringing some of the most left policies to the table on the local and state level.
Max, when did you first hear about Kendra Brooks?
I've come across Kendra Brooks just reporting on, kind of community issues in North Philadelphia, education issues over the years. She worked for 17 years with children with disabilities until she was laid off from that job. And at that time, she kind of really got into the sort of grassroots advocacy at the state level around these education issues. This was under former Governor Tom Corbett, who was making these massive cuts to public education. And Kendra was one of these sort of figures on the ground that was very prominent and raising concerns and advocating for the public school system in Philly.
My name is Kendra Brooks. I'm an education advocate and a small business owner.
Her campaign launched earlier this year as a member of the Working Families Party, and I think more people were taken aback by the name Working Families Party than they were Kendra Brooks if they knew who she was. But
why was that? Why were they taken aback by Working Families Party?
The Working Families Party has never had an elected official in Philadelphia. It's a party that began in New York in 1998 and, started to make appearances in Philadelphia around the Occupy Philly protests in 2011.
What does the Working Families Party stand for?
Working Families Party, as it says in its name, they like to say that they are, bringing working class families and bringing them a seat at the political table. A lot of the policies that they're bringing forward are also being pushed in Congress by people like Representative Ocasio-Cortez.
We do not shy away from bold conversations of health care, housing, and education as human rights, of living wages and dignified work, of policy that isn't just drafted with the next election in mind, but also with the next generation in mind.
Kendra Brooks proposed to have a 10-year plan to reinject money into public school systems. She wanted to abolish sheriff sales, where homes are being foreclosed on and auctioned off.
So Kendra Brooks, this community activist, is signing on to a lot of these issues and making a run for council as an independent. When did it become clear that she actually had a shot at winning?
What happened pretty
quickly, about 3-4 months into her campaign, or as it was like moving along towards the general election, she, in that time, raised a record-breaking number of dollars. All told, Kendra Brooks and her running mate, Nicholas O'Rourke, raised over $400,000 collectively. Kendra raised more money than her running mate. And then on top of that, they had some independent expenditure money coming from the National Working Families Party being injected into their race and on sort of, you know, mailing efforts and helping to, you know, sort of spread the word and support her candidacy independent of her campaign. So if you add all of that together, we're talking about a race in which there was easily $500,000, $600,000, maybe almost $700,000 being spent. And in a city council at large race, like, that's a lot of money.
Where did most of Kendra Brooks's money come from?
A lot of the money was raised by small donors. You know, the campaign definitely touted itself as grassroots throughout much of its buildup. They also picked up support from some labor unions. SEIU endorsed them. You know, that's money coming in that's considered more of like establishment practices. Picking up those big endorsements, with that comes some money.
And Kendra Brooks got an endorsement from Elizabeth Warren, right?
Right, which is pretty unprecedented for a local city council race, even in a big city like Philly, to have a major national presidential candidate like jumping into this city council at large race. On the local level, too, some of our own progressive, more outsider, anti-establishment elected officials like council member Helen Gim.
We're the poorest big city in this nation, but we know that poverty and inequality don't happen to us by accident. They happen when our legislature fails to fund our public schools equitably.
Also came and endorsed Brooks's candidacy. That's a big deal in local politics for a number of reasons, one least of which is that Brooks is technically running against Helen Gim on the ticket for at-large.
Is that totally unprecedented for somebody running as a Democrat to endorse somebody from a different party for the same race? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, and it's a very uniquely Philadelphia problem, just the way that our sort of quirky structure of this legislative body works, and also just the way that the Democrats have sort of flooded this town. And really a lot of the tension that we're seeing here is not just between Democrat and Republican ideals. It's like centrist Democratic policies and these left-leaning Democratic policies. And Brooks's campaign from the get-go definitely represented similar to what Gims did, which would be like a leftward gravity in lawmaking and policymaking in Philadelphia.
When we come back...
This definitely tracks with national trends and statewide trends that are happening.
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with Max Marin, reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn, about Kendra Brooks' unprecedented win in this week's Philadelphia City Council election. So explain again how these seats work on council. Kendra Brooks was regarded as having a good shot to unseat one of the Republicans in the at-large race. How would that work exactly?
Okay. Very easy explainer. There are 17 seats on city council. 10 of them are districts. 7 of them are citywide at-large seats. Of those 7 seats, 2 are reserved for members of the non-majority party, a minority party in Philadelphia. That typically and historically in Philadelphia has been controlled by Republicans for the last 60 years since the Home Rule Charter went into effect in the mid-20th century.
Why is the city charter set up this way with minority candidates guaranteed these 2 seats?
So when the city kind of redrafted its central governing document back in the 1950s, this was at a time when Republicans had really like dominated the city for, the early half of the 20th century. And there was a need for these sort of reforms to stop this sort of like monopolizing of power and in government, and sort of like saw it as a way to end corruption and create more like balanced democracy, was to have like, you know, these guaranteed seats that wouldn't be for the dominant, you know, political player in the room. So that really has always opened them up to anybody, an independent, somebody running on the Green Party platform or Libertarian.
They've just never gotten enough votes to actually get there.
They've never gotten enough, never even come close.
And obviously, even though Republicans have won these seats for the past, you know, number of decades, this time was different.
Right. An independent or a third party candidate, it's just kind of unheard of. It's a two-party town. I mean, mostly it's a one-party town. But then, you know, the Republicans, outnumbered 7-1 by Democrats, are, you know, still really considered the only other player in the room. So Kendra Brooks's victory was truly unprecedented in the world of Philadelphia politics.
And even though Republicans are a minority in the city, it seems like their role is being even further diminished. Republican Councilman David O. narrowly retained his seat. What do you think this means for the Republican Party in Philadelphia going forward?
I wouldn't say it's a wake-up call because I think a lot of the issues highlighted by this election have already been on the table. David O. is one of the most unpopular Republicans within the Republican Party. He finished in last place among the nominees in the primary election. He's not very well liked by Republicans. They actively tried to sabotage his campaign. He ended up getting this number of votes because he appeals to sort of a wider, more diverse constituency.
We have whites, we have people from the Northeast, Center City, we have Democrats, we have Asians, we have Muslims, we have African Americans, you know, we have LGBTQ. We have a very broad, diverse group of people.
And it's definitely not beholden to the local party. I spoke to the Republican Party chairman, Mike Meehan, after the election, and he really shifted the onus onto the sort of infighting within the party. His own ward leaders, his own Republican rank-and-file officials really just don't get along with each other. And this infighting has really fractured the party through and through.
So what does this race mean for politics writ large in Philadelphia? It seems like generally politics is moving to the left, and this is sort of the next step, right?
Yeah, this definitely tracks with national trends and statewide trends that are happening. And even if you look at the current election cycle in Pennsylvania, there was a number of independent candidates running across the state for various offices that were really giving establishment Democrats or establishment Republicans, depending on the town, a run for their money and really giving them a hard time. In Scranton, the first woman mayor was just elected on an independent ticket in a largely Democratic town in Delaware County, right outside of Philadelphia. This long-held Republican stronghold was dissolved overnight. Five Democrats swept the county council election, and now that county is a Democratic majority for the first time in generations. So this is happening kind of all over the place, and I think Brooks winning is also reflective of the sort of leftward gravity in Philadelphia City Council as well. A lot of the policies that have gained the most traction in council in recent years have really just sort of been among these sort of populist left ideas.
But those ideas have so far, until now, been put forward by Democrats. What does this say about the Democratic Party? I mean, are politics shifting beyond party politics? I mean, the fact that an independent is able to get into council?
Yes, and I think that we're seeing a lot of this play out on the national level with figures like Bernie Sanders, who openly identify with other sort of labels and platforms like democratic socialism, for example, is a prominent one that they use. And I think that these labels and identities on, you know, progressive politics in general, even that's sort of a buzzword we're all using, are now distinguishing and being used to separate different tiers of the Democratic Party in a way that was maybe not so codified before.
Thank you, Max.
Thanks.
Max Maron is a reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. You can send a tweet to @ShaiBenYaakov. I do have a bit of news to share before we go. Starting this Monday, new episodes of The Y will drop at 4:30 in the afternoon. Same great stories, different time. And if you don't already subscribe, this is a great time to do it. You can sign up wherever you get your podcasts. See you Monday.